And we're back to Catch the Flavor Youth Radio here on Radio Regent. I'm your co-host for the second half of the show, Judy Pham. I'm joined with my co-host,
Judd.
So for our second half, we'll be talking to Franz Hartman, who is an executive director of TEA, which is the Toronto Environmental Alliance. So Franz Hartman has been the executive director of TEA since April 2017. And he has been advocating for a Green Toronto since 1990, when he first volunteered at TEA. In 1998, after 8 years of studying and participating in urban environmental politics in Toronto, he received his PhD in environmental politics from York University. In 1998, he also became the environmental advisor to Councillor Jack Layton. Since then, Franz has been involved in advocating green energy and solutions for smog, waste management, and a green economy at the municipal and federal levels. Highlights include helping write the City of Toronto's first ever environmental plan and helping develop a Kyoto implementation strategy for Canada. So, Franz, we welcome you here today.
Thank you for having me.
So, today we're discussing the recent controversy over the United States President pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. So for our audience, we're just going to summarize about the Paris Agreement. It is the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, with United Nations members agreeing to certain protocol to how they govern their countries and in an effort to reduce green waste. So now that the U.S. has pulled out, we wanted to understand, what's your perspective on that? How does Canada play a role?
Well, the good news is it really doesn't matter whether or not President Trump is interested in the Paris Climate Agreement, because most of the actions that need to be taken to reduce our carbon pollution are taken at the city level and the state level. So while it would be great to have the U.S. federal government involved in this, it's not necessary. And the other piece of good news is that after President Trump announced that that the U.S. would not be part of the Paris Climate Accord, a whole number of politicians in the U.S., including mayors of various cities, state governors, and politicians across the planet, chimed in and said, too bad, we'll miss you, but we're going to go on and continue reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So in a bizarre sort of way, he's kind of galvanized public interest in climate action.
So you believe that because of his disinterest, people are reacting by wanting to do more?
Yeah. And the good news is that we've reached, I would say, almost a tipping point. I've been involved in climate campaigning for probably over 25 years now. And in the last number of years, I think we reached a tipping point where people have started realizing that climate action is not some sort of bad-tasting medicine that, we know we have to take. Rather, it's if we do it properly, not only do we reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, but we're also going to, create a whole bunch of green jobs, so it deals with the unemployment issue. We're going to create better housing. We're going to reduce our costs. And perhaps most importantly for those of us who are parents, we're going to make a better lives for our kids. So there's a whole bunch of reasons to act now, and there are very few reasons not to act.
That is very inspiring. So for Toronto, what's our role in this?
Well, for the last couple of years, City of Toronto staff have been given the task to develop a new climate action plan for Toronto. And they've come up with something called Transform TO. And they've essentially come up with a plan now that will, if it's properly and fully implemented, will reduce our climate pollution by 80% by 2050. And the plan has a kind of a short-term part and a long-term part. And the long-term part is going to go to City Council in July for discussion. And again, the good news with this plan is that they've said, we want to implement it to actually create a whole bunch of additional benefits beyond just reducing climate pollution. We want to create green jobs. We want to, you know, we want to improve housing. We want people to feel better. We want prosperity. And so the money that's going to be invested in this plan, if it's adopted, will bring a whole bunch of benefits to Torontonians above and beyond just reducing our climate pollution. So that's like it's a really good news story. This is assuming, of course, it gets adopted by council.
Okay, that's great. And seems like there's a silver lining, but because the U.S. is such a powerhouse in the international stage, you said that most of this is done on the grassroots level, but what does it do in terms of morale?
Well, I think that's the kind of the bizarre thing. Had you asked me, you know, a couple of months ago, should the U.S. pull out of the Paris Accord or Paris Climate Accord, you know, what would the impact be? I might have said, you know what, it may kind of take the air out of the balloon of action. But in fact, we've seen the exact opposite. As I said earlier, there's been renewed commitments by a whole bunch of politicians and a whole bunch of people. You know, our mayor was in the media a few days ago talking about how, you know, he's supporting the city's climate plan. He had very rarely spoken about the need for supporting climate action. The test now, of course, will be, you know, it's easy for politicians to make promises. The question is, will they actually put their money where their mouth is? Will they make sure there's enough money available to implement the plan?
On that level, I just wanted to ask a question, because it is supposedly a voluntary piece of legislature. It's not even legislature. It's an agreement. It's not even a contract. And like a half hour of Ontario's emissions in 1 half hour, India and China produce enough emissions to equal the entire year's output for Ontario as a province. So, like, if we do stuff here, what is the implication internationally? Like, can Canada put any pressure, any sanctions, or do you see any kind of headway
in
that direction?
Well, it's interesting that you use that statistic, because 4 years ago, our emissions were dramatically higher in Ontario because we still burned coal to make electricity. And because we have so dramatically reduced our emissions here in Ontario already, compared to India and other places which are much larger, you know, we're going to have a smaller impact. But I think what's happening is that countries like India and China, and even in the United States, you know, Texas, for example, Texas has an increasing number of wind turbines. They less and less of their electricity actually comes from coal, and more comes from renewables, in fact, dramatically greater. The fact is that as countries that are polluting a lot look around the planet, they see that it doesn't make sense anymore economically, it doesn't make sense environmentally, and it doesn't make sense from a health perspective to continue burning fossil fuels. And the sort of dramatic shift we saw in Ontario over the last 4 years, that's coming sooner than later to these big, to the big emitters. And the sad thing is that the United States may be one of the last ones to kind of make the transition towards a cleaner economy. But the good news is, I think China and India, even though the Paris Climate Accord is a voluntary agreement, they're beginning to understand there are a huge number of benefits in reducing carbon pollution, and that those benefits far outweigh any of the costs.
So I understand that the U.S. Actually pulled out because of economic protectionist policies. So how does that...
Well, I think that's perhaps what President Trump said to the media. my apologies. I think the reality is slightly different. If he was truly concerned about maintaining or helping the U.S. economy grow and prosper and become sustainable, he would never have pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. If anything, he would have doubled down on it and said, we're going to even move faster towards a green economy. Because all the economic evidence, all the statistics that I've seen point to the path to prosperity is actually by doing climate action, by reducing carbon pollution. I think President Trump pulled out because of purely political reasons. he, for whatever reason, decided a number of years ago that he was going to come out in opposition to any climate action. He built up his political constituency based on that, and he decided that he had to honor the commitment he made during the presidential election, where he said he was going to pull out of the climate accord. The irony is that by doing that, he is dooming the U.S. economy potentially to going to the back of the pack in the sort of transformation required. In short, he's made life a lot more miserable for Americans.
Okay, so we're just about done with time, but is there any last-minute thoughts you want to share with us on how we as a community can help when it comes to our climate?
Sure. Well, I urge all of your listeners to do two things. One, you know, find out who your city councilor is, and you can just dial 311 and ask them to find out who your city councilor is and call your city councilor and say, you know, we want you to not only implement the new climate action plan at the city level, but make sure that that it's fully implemented, that there's enough money to fully implement it. And the second thing people can do is, you know, we have a provincial election coming up in less than a year. Make sure that you're talking to politicians and telling them climate action is good, not only because it reduces our carbon emissions, but because it's the fastest path to prosperity for all of us.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
So we just want to thank Franz Hartman, Executive Director of the Toronto Environmental Alliance. And the Toronto Environmental Alliance has campaigned locally to find solutions to Toronto's urban environmental problems. As a not-for-profit organization, they advocate on behalf of all Torontonians for a green, healthy, and equitable city. They rely on members to help work with communities and act as an environmental watchdog at City Hall. So Franz Hartman is executive director since 2007, and we thank him for joining us. Stay tuned. We will have a panel discussion expanding on the topic.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. We paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Up a parking lot.
And
And we're back on Catch the Flavor Radio. My name is Judd. If you want to call in, it is 647-344-4134. And we're going to just go and just talk a little bit about what we just heard up until the end of the hour, in which case you will then listen to the great stylings and political commentary of Murphy Brown. But for now, impressions, thoughts, concerns? Does anyone here take their own recycling out for one of his paper bags?
So if anyone's just joining us, we're just continuing our talk on climate change and the recent U.S. pulling out of the U.N. Paris Agreement and what that means for our environment. So we are joined here with...
Ahmed.
And Beverly.
Okay, so how do you guys feel about that?
Is it big enough of an issue that when you go out to vote, will you be like, how high do you rank that compared to like economics or like education?
Yeah.
Or
are you going to vote for the Green Party, bar none?
The greenest of parties.
I think that it's pretty important considering the fact that it's not just talking about our youth or like our families, but also like our world. You know, like we need someone. We need someone like that would like take in the future of, you know, everything, not just the future, like not just like the next 4 years or the next 5 years, you know.
Yeah. What about you, Bev?
Yeah, I would agree. So
anything else to add or just agree?
Just agree, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So how do you feel about the U.S. pulling out? Do you think that's going to change things? Or do you, like our guests mentioned, that it's helped people actually double down, politicians saying, no, thank you, from the federal level, but we can handle this from the smaller levels, the grassroots levels. So do you think it's within our reach to change the environment individually, communally? Looking at you, Bev.
I like how you put all the pressure to save the environment solely on the shoulders of Beverly and Beverly alone.
Yeah, they're really alone.
But I'm curious.
No pressure.
I'm curious how many people, like even our listeners, how many people actually go and recycle the bags or whatever, how many people just throw them into the thing, right? Or leave like, because I remember a statistic from years ago wherein Canada had like the biggest use of or misuse of energy. Like people leave televisions running, or they leave the lights on all the time. Yeah, they leave the lights on in rooms, no one's there. Like I think countries that have the most tend to contribute the most. I think the U.S. itself contributes like, I don't know, like a fifth or some absurd like disproportionate amount considering how many people live there to the world's overall pollution.
Yeah, but do you think it's actually within our hands? Like, just the small things we do, can we make that big difference if everyone just put in their part? Like Franz Hartmann was discussing, it could be changed in the grassroots level. Do you think that's true? Or do you think policies actually make a huge difference? Like, you know, how we started implementing compost recycling, we never had that a few years back.
Well, what she's referring to, if you're not from Canada, is the addition of, in addition to a recycling box, there's now a compost box. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I use it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, once someone gives you the box, then you're like, okay.
Yeah, you throw your bananas there, your dirty oranges.
And you don't feel like it's guilty. You're like, I only ate half this orange, but now it's helping the environment.
Yeah.
It's also good for the soil, right? So I think Canada is kind of doing a better job with, instead of like U.S., because like, I think that U.S. is, like, just, like, throwing their garbage. Like, it's not, like, labeled, like, recyclable or stuff like that.
What about you, Ahmed? What are your thoughts?
I think that one man or a woman can save the world.
Okay. Very philosophical.
I like how Gandhi-esque you are today.
I know.
He's all full of, like, he's like a book written by Kanye West.
Because you guys are not here in the studio, he does kind of look like Gandhi today, I'm not going to lie.
No one enjoyed that Kanye West reference. So get used to getting used. No, nobody? No one read that book? All right, fine, forget it.
Okay.
He wrote a book, it was nothing but weird quotes. Like
Kanye West?
Yeah.
My brother has that book, I think.
Can you bring it in so we can read it on air?
I'm not sure if he
Okay,
has.
We'll do that next show. Yeah, but we're veering off topic. But, I mean, Kanye West does do that.
He could save the environment.
Yeah, he can. He can.
Understand that George Bush should care about black people.
What about
people?
Kanye West?
America hates black people.
According to Kanye West, he said it out loud.
Yes. Yeah.
No, but do you think the environmentalism hurts poorer communities? That is a good question, though. I mean, because India and other countries are starting to modernize, and industrialize. Do they miss out on that phase
of
development because if people were to impose some kind of global carbon tax or global emission standard? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring it to colonization.
Yeah,
colonization. That's a word. Yeah.
Yeah. And how, America and Canada are saying that, the colonized countries that are ready and are built and everything. They're telling the developing countries that they shouldn't build themselves up. I think that's that links into it, because
finish your thought and we'll go home.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hungry.
That's the last. So I lost my train of thought.
No, but I mean, I guess wait and see. We can leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right, so Judd, why don't you close us off?
All right, thank you for listening to Catch the Flavor. On the flanker microphone, I have...
It's Judy.
And in the booth, we have...
Beverly.
And...
Ahmed.
And coming right up is Murphy Brown, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to leave you with Leonard Cohen, and we'll see you next week on Catch the Flavor. Thank you all for listening. Spread the word.